Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
My wife Gabby and I know I've shared this quite a bit lately, but please indulge me. We celebrated 20 years of marriage back in January, about a month ago. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm doing well, aren't I? I won't say anything. I'm a blessed man. I am very blessed to have such a beautiful wife. Anyway, for our 20th wedding anniversary, we decided, just the two of us, by ourselves, no kids, no work, no ministry, just us two. And we thought, to do this, we have to get out of the country. So we went to Singapore. Has anyone been to Singapore here this morning? A couple of people, yes. And we just had the best time. And we had a blast. We went and stayed at the hotel that is in the movie Crazy Rich Asians for a couple of nights. We went and did these walking tours. We ate the local food, nice restaurants. We just had a great time. And the week ended, and on the Sunday, we checked out of our hotel because it was time to go for our flights. And we just sort of like took it easy during the day because of the flights were in the evening. And you know, when you check out of your hotel, it's hot and humid. You don't want to get too sweaty. So we just took it easy, just went to the shopping center. I think I bought a jumper because I didn't bring any long sleeve shirts, and I'm getting old, and for some reason the cold airplane, so I needed my grandpa jumper. And anyway, we just took it easy. And so then we got to the airport. Our flight was at 7 p.m. We got to the airport at about 4:05, and we went to the check-in, handed over our passports, and everything was going smoothly. There was a few questions that seemed a bit out of the usual, but anyway, everything was fine. She gave us back our passports and some boarding passes, and we started heading off. And then I heard these words, "Mr. Blackmore, excuse me, Bronson, Mr. Blackmore, can you come back?" And we went back, and then I heard the words that no traveler ever wants to hear. I heard the word saying, "Your flight's not, it's tomorrow night." I turned to Gab and said, "What have you done?" No, I booked all the, I don't know what happened, but for whatever reason, I thought we were leaving on the Sunday night. So we checked out of the hotel, had no flight to get back home. And so that was my first mistake, okay? That's a big mistake. So I jump online, and now I'm in a rush to try and find a hotel, yeah? I'm kind of like a little conservative side of spending money, so I didn't want to pay a lot of money. I checked out the hotels we'd just been at, way too expensive for some reason. The prices had gone up really, really high. So I found this hotel. I thought it looked good. Booking.com, book that hotel. We leave the airport, we're driving there, we tell the taxi driver where we're going. He goes, "You're going where?" That should have been the first warning. We get there, dodgiest area of town. Dodgy, the hotel, Park Royal Hotel. Sounds good. Wasn't good. Very run down, very old, smelt. There were no restaurants in the area. Look, mistake number two, not doing my the hotel. This was not how I wanted the holiday to end. Thank God I have a gracious wife, and she gave me lots of grace. But I wonder if you've ever made a mistake like this. Well, mistake. But you've made mistakes in your life. Maybe you said something to someone that you really should not have said. Maybe you did something, some action that you should not have done. Maybe you let someone down. Maybe you don't know what it is, but you knew after you did that thing that you had made a mistake. Anyone like that this morning? A few people like that this morning. You know, you knew that you'd messed up. If we're truly honest with ourselves, every single person here would have to say, "Yes, Bronson, I have made some mistakes in my life," because we all make mistakes. In fact, we see in the Bible that the Bible has plenty of men and women who made mistakes, who in their life made bad decisions. We see the example of Abraham, who the Bible calls the father of faith. the father of faith, was given a promise from God that he would have an heir to his name, and yet he doesn't have one, so he forces the issue, sleeps with a woman who is not his wife to try to have this thing come to plan. He makes a mistake. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, messed up his relationship with his father and especially his brother Esau by his lying, his deceitfulness, by the scheming that he had in his heart. Also see David, the mighty man that we always talk about in the Bible, David, he commits adultery, gets the woman pregnant to try to hide the pregnancy. He has her husband killed. Horrible things we see in the New Testament. Peter, Apostle Peter, denies Jesus. Three times, he's asked three times in separate occasions, hey, weren't you the one who were following Jesus? And he denied vehemently. He cursed. He said, I was not the one. I do not know that man. These people made mistakes. But we also make mistakes in our life, the way we think, the decisions we make, the atmosphere that we allow around our life. What happened is that the mistakes that we make in our past or our present can become prison houses that hold us hostage. Our mistakes can hold us hostage, and we can be constantly reminded of our, either by our own thoughts, our own self-talk, by other people, by the devil, our enemy, and we can end up in this place of prison and bondage to our past. And we can think that the mistakes that we make, actually that we're making now, maybe in our lives, we can think that these things disqualify us from a relationship with God. But I thank God that he doesn't think how we think. I thank God that he thinks in a different way. And today, if you have, we're going to quickly look at Acts chapter 4, verse 33. If you don't, it'll be on the screen behind me. And here is a passage that I just want to set as a foundation for my message today. It says this, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Great grace was upon them. This is the days of the early church, and they've just seen these amazing things. The Holy Spirit has come, and great grace is upon them. Great grace is upon them. Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. Grace is forgiveness. It's salvation. Grace is wiping out my debts. Grace is acceptance. Grace is beginning. That's what God's great grace is for our lives today. The thing about grace is that it only comes with mistakes. Have you ever thought about that? Great grace comes with great mistakes. God's great grace covers the great mistakes that we can have in our life. And today, if there's anyone here and you've made great mistakes in your life, I want to let you know that God's grace is greater than any mistake you may have made. You know that God's grace is greater. Any mistake you've made, he will forgive you of. He will accept you. He will save you and give you a new beginning. That's God's great grace. And I think this morning we should give God some praise for his great grace. Perhaps you don't know this great grace today. Maybe when you think about God, you've never thought about God being a great grace God. And today, this morning at the end of my give you an opportunity to know God, to know Jesus, his son who came and died for you and offers you his forgiveness and his salvation. And if you want to take that opportunity, I would love for you to do that at the end of my message. You may have made a mistake, but you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. No matter what people might say about you, no matter what your mum and dad have said or your brothers or your friends, whatever it is, no matter what lies the enemy in your mind, you may have failed, but you're not a failure. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. We may have made a mistake, but we're not mistakes. God has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for your life, and great grace for you today. Great grace. Sometimes when we talk about grace, we can think that, well, great grace means great times, great things that we're going to do. But see, I'm not advocating that we go out and make mistakes. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying this morning, hey, it's all good. Don't worry. Go out, cut loose, be carefree, do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. It's all good. I'm not saying that, not for one millisecond. But what I'm saying is that our enemy who would try to use the past. We would try to use mistakes that we have in our life. We might try to use some of the sin we have in our life to bind us, to capture, to hold, and to condemn us. But God is there on the other side, and He is saying that my grace is sufficient for you because I have shown you great grace. Great grace where you are at your life. See, your mistake be a prison, but a pathway to a greater revelation of God's grace. You may have made small mistakes or great mistakes. Let me tell you something. They are not to be a prison, but they are to be a pathway, a greater revelation of God's grace for your life. And I believe and I feel like no story in the Bible better illustrates God's grace towards us than the story of the prodigal son. The lost son, which is in Luke 15, verse 31 to 30. And to save time, I'll paraphrase the start, but what happens is there's a dad and he has property and it would appear that maybe he would be a wealthy man. And one of you says, "Hey, Dad, I want my inheritance now." Dad hasn't even passed away yet, and this son is asking for his inheritance. So this is very, very disrespectful to the father. The father, he loves the son so much that he says, okay, and he divides up the property and gives the son half of his, gives the son his inheritance. The son goes off, and he just lives a life like no other person had lived. He's doing whatever you can imagine. He's getting into it. He's living a wild life in a distant land. What happens then is a famine comes along and the son has spent all his money. He has no money left. And a famine comes. He doesn't have enough money to support himself. So he ends up working for another farmer, feeding the pigs in the pigsty. And he gets to such a bad state that he thinks to himself, I wish that I was one of these eating the pig slop because I am starving. And then he gets to that point, and we pick up the story right now in Luke 15, 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hires have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. You know, this young man, he may be someone that you know. He may be me. He could be you. Made mistakes, decisions, unwise choices, and his life is a mess. And in his mess, in his despair, he remembers his father. And he thinks back to his father's house and how good his land and how good even the slaves, the servants had it. And he thought to himself, well, I have disrespected my father so much. There is no possible way that he could ever receive me back as a son. But perhaps if I humble myself, perhaps if I bow low enough, grovel enough, and say to my father, Father, I sell myself back to you as a slave, perhaps he may have mercy on my life and he may accept. And you know, many people think the same way as this man. Many Christians, many people who do not know Christ think the same way as this man. They think that their future is limited, that their future is defined by the mistakes. They think that there is no way that God could accept them because of where they've been, what they've seen, what they've done. They think that God could never love them. They think that they could never find a church or find people that would accept them for who they have all these thoughts, that they could never be loved as they want to be loved. And so they allow themselves to be like this young man. They think, I will just be a slave to my past. I will just be a slave to my circumstances. The passage continues in verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him. The father sees the son because the father is looking for the son. He is looking for the son. The father is active. actively scouring the landscape. The father is actively looking, he's searching for any trace of his son. He hasn't forgotten about his lost son. He has never stopped thinking about him. He hasn't given up on him. He hasn't stopped loving him. He hasn't written him off, because the love of the father is greater than the sins of the son. And our Heavenly Father, let me tell you this morning, is just like this. No matter what we do, what we've done, God sees you. God is looking for you. He's looking and He sees you. He wants to welcome you into His loving arms this morning. Verse 21, the Father said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But look at this. The Father said to His servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's have a party. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. What a response from this father. I have three young children, and I pray that I would have a heart like this if my children broke my heart like this son had. But what a response from the father. Yes, the son wasted his inheritance. All that wealth built up over the long lifetime of the father wasted. Yes, he lived a life of foolishness and mistakes and errors. And if you thought about it, did he really deserve the cloak? Did he really deserve the ring, sandals? Did he deserve a party, a celebration? The fact of the matter is that he didn't, but great grace covers great mistakes. Great grace covers great mistakes. The father forgives him, restores and celebrates him. Celebrates him. But before that, notice what the son says. He says, I have sinned against heaven and against you. In John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, when you come before God and say, God, I am guilty, God looks at you and he says, you are forgiven. When you admit your mistakes, Kim, you move from admission to remission. You move from declaration to restoration. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to move us to a restoration in a relationship with him. As a key, at this point, the older son, the one who stayed when the younger son went off, the one who stayed with dad, the faithful son, the one who toiled and worked hard, was in the vineyards and out in the field, was collecting the crops and doing whatever his father had asked him to do. He finds out there's a party going on, and he finds out the party is for his younger brother. The party's for his young 8. Let's see what the older brother does. It says this, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. Have you ever become angry at someone because of the mistakes they've made in their life? Have you ever looked at someone and they just, you were angry because of what they had done? The brother became angry and refused to go in. But his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf. The older brother, he just can't get over what his younger brother has done. The older son, he just can't look past the mistakes. He can't look past the sin in his brother's life. He can't look past how he's hurt his dad and hurt. He can't forget them. He doesn't want to forgive him, and he doesn't want to celebrate the return of the lost son. We don't know how many long a period of time it was, but he would have been gone for a while, I'm thinking. And the older brother wants to define the younger brother by his mistakes, by the mistakes he's made in his life. But let me tell you this today, God will never define you by your worst mistakes. Great grace covers great mistakes. People will. Critics will define you by that. Maybe family might. Maybe people in the church will define you by the mistakes you've made, but not God. And in our lives, we have to be careful not to do, people by their mistakes that they've made. We have to be careful not to have an older brother's spirit in our heart that judges. And there's a time and place for that, but that looks at people and writes them off and says, no, they can't. See, the older brother with years, faithfully working with the Father, alongside the Father, doing what the Father asked, serving the Father, humbling himself before the Father. But see, the older brother, the older son may know the Father, but he is not aligned with the heart of the Father. He may know the Father, but his heart is not aligned with the heart of the Father. And this is a reminder for us today. If we call ourselves followers of Christ, we must always check our hearts. Where is my heart? The person next to me, beside me, when I look at myself in the mirror, is my heart aligned with the heart of God? The heart of God. Luke 15:31, it says, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The heart was to the lost son. The heart of the Father was to that man who was lost. And the Heavenly Father of our heart, our Heavenly Father, his heart is towards the lost in our world. He's towards you today. Maybe you might be in a place where you may say, I identify with the prodigal son, or I feel like I'm lost. His heart is towards you this morning. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save. God is greater than your mistakes. He's greater than your failures. He's greater than your wrong choices. He's greater than where you might find yourself. He is greater than the sin in your life. And the story of the prodigal son is this. Your mistakes are not greater than God's grace. God has more grace than your disgrace. I think some people need to get this today. God has more grace than your disgrace. Tomorrow when you slip up, tomorrow when you say something you shouldn't, you think something, God's grace is greater than that. It's greater. And maybe you're here today and you need a revelation that God's grace is greater than your disgrace. His love is greater than your sin. Nothing you do can separate you from the love of God. No depths, no heights, no width, no length. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And it could be today that you need to realign your heart with God's heart. You're looking at others, at what they are or aren't doing, and you're looking at their life, and God's saying, hey, well, would you just not be distracted, but would you just align your heart with my heart? I love that person. I got a plan for their life. I'm speaking, allow my Holy Spirit to convict them in their life, but just come along and align yourself with me, living a life like the Father. Imagine if we all lived more like the Father, if we looked for and saw the lost around us. There are people around us who do not know Christ. They're like this lost son. They need to know the Father. If we could see the lost, imagine if we accepted and welcomed people with loving arms. Imagine if we accepted people where they were. Imagine if we forgave as we've been forgiven. Have you been forgiven this morning? I've been forgiven this morning, and I need to forgive those around us. Imagine if we lived with great grace and the understanding. My past is the past. I've been forgiven. I have a new future. I've been set free. Imagine if we lived in a way that we gave great grace to those around us. The world would be a better place. The church, better place. Your life would be better if you were like the Father. And in my own life, I've made mistakes. I've booked airplane tickets, hotels at the wrong times. I've said things that I shouldn't have done, things I should not have done, that I'm not proud of. But I know that I have a God who loves me. And as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a pastor, I've made mistakes. And I'm like Abraham, like Jacob, I'm like David, I'm like Peter. And guess what? So are you. You're like them too. You've made mistakes. You've done things. But God, in his great grace, forgave those men, restored them, and used them. And today, God forgives us, restores us, and he has a great destiny and a great purpose for your life. If you would humble yourself and come to the Father like the Son and say, Father, I come before you. I humble myself. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your salvation, your free gift of salvation in my life. and God can use you too. And I will not let my mistakes define my life and my legacy. I want my life to define that I am a child of God. I've been called and chosen. I may not deserve it, but I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been set free. I've been forgiven. The greater the mistake in my life, the greater God's grace and forgiveness. And today in your life too, you are not defined by that. That is not your legacy. Your legacy is a life lived for God. A legacy of life chosen and called by God. Father, and say, God, use me. God, thank you for your great grace over my life.